This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The effects of the violence going on in Iraq extend beyond the country's borders to the region as a whole. The American-led invasion was opposed publicly by all of Iraq's neighbors except Kuwait. Some neighboring governments feared U.S. success as much as failure. A democratic Iraq could undermine authoritarian regimes next door. But the chaos that prevails in Iraq right now threatens neighboring countries' stability, and some political reformers find their movement stalled. Today we begin a series about Iraq's Arab neighbors, starting in Syria. NPR's Deborah Amos found political Islam on the rise.
On a weekend night, Syrians crowd into Assad's House of Arts and Culture. The modern opera house is a recent gift from Syria's young president, Bashar al-Assad. The performance, an elaborately staged drama, is the story of foreign military occupation, a leader captured by a conquering army, and armed resistance against invading soldiers. It's not Iraq, but the story of the ancient Syrian city of Palmyra under Roman rule. With a long history of foreign occupation, Syrians tend to side with insurgencies. There is popular support for the Palestinians against Israel, and for Iraqis who turn their guns and bombs on American soldiers. Many Iraqi families have fled to Damascus and tell bitter first-hand accounts of the chaos back home. The Syrian government is critical of U.S. policy. Popular feelings go further, says Syrian analyst Samir Taki.
There is a big, really big feeling of resentment, humiliation. The United States wants Arabs to just to say, we are defeated, we are the bad guys, and lay down your arms and we'll rule you.
The Umayyad Mosque, on a historic site that goes back 3,000 years, was a pagan temple, a Christian cathedral, and finally a mosque after the Muslim conquests here. It's a draw for religious tourists and for Syrians who frequent coffee shops on nearby narrow streets to smoke chunks of tobacco in bubbling water pipes and discuss the news of the day. Businessman Riyad Sarafi believes the U.S. is in Iraq for oil and to protect Israel, rather than promoting democracy.
Democracy, it doesn't come on the tanks. Democracy, it doesn't come by killing people.
College student Bashar al-Haroun believes the United States waged a war that will eventually target him.
I saw a lot of soldiers wrote on their tanks, "This is a holy war." We thought it's a really war against terror. But suddenly we found that it is a war against Muslims and Arabs.
Which is one reason many Syrians are turning to religion. On Fridays, mosques are packed with young people. Most young women wear Islamic headscarves. Underground religious discussion groups are popular, even though officially banned. There is an extremist edge to this Islamic wave, a resurgence of radicalism not seen since the 1980s, when the Syrian military put down an Islamist challenge to the regime and killed 10,000 people in the town of Hama. This April, the government blamed Islamists for a car bomb in a Damascus neighborhood, followed by a street battle carried out with rocket-propelled grenades. In this tightly controlled police state, it was a shock. Many Syrians pointed to Iraq, convinced the crisis was spilling over, says Ayman Abdul Nur, a Ba'ath Party member.
This is enhancing the fanatics in Syria, and this is one what a huge problem we are facing now. This is, will lead the whole region into an explosion someday.
The Islamic revival is most notable in Aleppo, in northern Syria. This town, a trading center since the 14th century, observes traditions. Hot tea is served to shoppers from a silver flask. But a modern movement of political Islam is winning converts, says Margaret Copian, a lifelong resident.
They are more fanatic in their religion.
Is it becoming more so?
Yes.
That worries Sheikh Ahmed Hassoun, the Mufti of Aleppo, the leading religious authority here. Hassoun says he has to compete with radical voices rising in local mosques and violent pictures on television.
Sometimes we have to be a bit more radical in order to attract those people to us, not to lose them.
Hassoun's long-term message is religious moderation. When a delegation of Sunni clerics from Iraq came to him for a religious ruling called a fatwa to bless political kidnappings, Sheikh Hassoun says he turned them down. When he did issue a religious ruling, it was against young Syrians joining the fight in Iraq.
I gave a fatwa, and I didn't allow any Syrian guy to go to Fallujah and fight.
Not everyone was listening. Syrian fighters have crossed the border. Some have returned in coffins. Under U.S. pressure, the Syrian government promised to tighten border controls with Iraq. A known Islamist was arrested for recruiting young men to join the Iraqi insurgency last month. While in custody, he died under suspicious circumstances. His hometown funeral turned into a riot, a protest over what some saw as a sudden and unwelcome change in Syrian policy under intense American pressure. There's been another unwelcome change for Samir Taki, part of Syria's liberal reform movement. The government's promised political reforms are on hold, he says.
I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated a bit, because it's just like a horse who is standing before a snake. He cannot jump. He cannot walk. He's just paralyzed.
The chaos in Iraq has strengthened Syria's political conservatives, says Nadine Shahadi, who studies Syria for a British think tank.
They say it's not time for reform. These are not the priorities. We are under pressure from the Israelis, from the Americans. So let's stick to our model and stability.
The Syrian model has softened since Bashar al-Assad inherited the presidency from his father 4 years ago. The late Hafez al-Assad sorted out problems with an iron fist. His son, educated in Britain, opened the country to cell phones, limited internet access, and satellite television. But these changes don't address the problems of one of the poorest countries in the Middle East. Jawdat al-Hashmi is the oldest prep school in Damascus. Classes are crowded with teenage boys in tidy uniforms. The majority of Syria's population is under 20 years old.
We continue. Who can tell me what did he do this summer? Yes, please.
Learning English gives these boys a competitive edge, but the economy isn't growing fast enough to absorb them. High unemployment is creating a generation of frustration. The politics of the Middle East is fueling a generation of rage. 17-year-old Ahmed Malou says the U.S. is an enemy he will one day have to fight.
They are making trouble everywhere. They want to steal the wealth of the Arab nations. Now they are in Baghdad. Maybe they are thinking of coming to Damascus.
Democracy and human rights are associated with hated U.S. policies for this hardline generation. Again, Samir Taki.
My problem as a liberal man is how can I fight for my values as long as people are getting more and more radical in my society?
Deborah Amos, NPR News.
You can find photos showing Syria's religious revival at npr.org. Our series, Bordering on Instability, continues tomorrow with a look at Jordan.